relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you like America First, then check out our separate podcast, The Battle for 1600, with my former White House colleague, Boris Epstein. Every week, we give you the inside, in-depth analysis of what's really going on. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today.
The following was pre-recorded.
Our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
I have a dream today. Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Greetings, dear friends. Welcome to this special edition of America First on the Salem Radio Network with me, your host, Sebastian Gorka. And do we have a special program lined up for you today? You know me, I'm a radio fanatic. Been listening to talk radio since I was a wee little boy living in West London with my little transistor radio under my pillow. And as such, I love the long form, the opportunity to dig a little bit deeper, to have slightly longer, more meaningful conversations with our very, very special guests. And that's exactly what we're going to reprise for you today here on America First. Don't forget that we have our new Rumble video streaming channel as well, where you can watch all the clips of the show you may have missed before. Just go to rumble.com/Seb Gorka. That's rumble.com/SEBGORKA. Today we will be having an hour-long discussion with that superlative author, former member of the Reagan administration, Robert Riley. Then, one of the few men alive today who truly, truly deserves the title of strategist. From Stanford University, one of our most incisive and prolific authors and commentators today. From the Hoover Institution, none other than Professor Victor Davis Hanson. But our first discussion is with somebody who has a very, very special take on why America is different. This is America First. If this man is unfamiliar to you, let me start by saying, yes, it is that Guinness family. I did my math. Tell me if I'm wrong, Oz. Great, great, great grandson of Arthur Guinness, the brewer.
No, that's right.
Okay, good. I'm glad we got that right. So it is the Guinness family. He graduated, like me, from the University of London, then Oxford Oriel College in Oxford with a PhD. He's been a guest scholar at the Woodrow Wilson Center, the Brookings Institute. Go to his webpage, Oz Guinness, OsGuinness, OzGuinness.com. And
two N's, though, Seb.
Sorry, two N's. Sorry, I can't even read my own scribble. Okay, OsGuinness.com. The nuns never taught me how to write. Well, they try. They try their best. I spent a year in a preschool with the nuns in Ealing, and they
probably
tried.
Didn't introduce you to our family beer either.
They did not. They did not. At the age of five, I had not yet been introduced to the delights of the dark brew. And as somebody, the last part of the bio, and then we'll get to work, which really intimidates me. As a man who just finished recently the manuscript for my third book, which was only about 6 months late, we are talking to the man who's written more than 21 books.
More than 30.
Well, then you have to update your bio. All I can do is rely upon your bio, but more than 30 is more than 20. Let me read a couple of the fabulous titles here. The first one I have on my list, before he corrects me again, that'll be the third time, and then I'm just going to cancel the show. The first one I have on my list is The Dust of Death, The 60s Counterculture, and How It Changed America Forever. Wow, I have to read that. Then I found another one from 2010, The Last Christian on Earth, Uncover the Enemy's Plot to Undermine the Church. And the one that I'm proudest of, because I have a signed copy of it thanks to the author, is Last Call for Liberty, How America's Genius for Freedom Has Become Its Greatest Threat. That's what we discussed last time. You have a book coming out this September we will discuss later in the show. But Oz, in the last few months, we discussed this in the last interview with you. Is there a potential in the greatest nation on God's earth for a civil war, given the politics we're witnessing today?
I think we're at a very critical stage. Now, civil war breaking out into violence? Possibly. But what I see more is a shift from the American Revolution to the ideas behind the French Revolution. You take this very week, a New York Times columnist said, you know, white Democrats are becoming more and more left-wing. He didn't know why. Well, the simple fact is they're espousing ideas. You take postmodernism, political correctness, identity politics, the sexual revolution, a whole stream of things. They all come from the French Enlightenment, the French Revolution. They have nothing to do with what was the American Revolution. That's the underlying revolution that is taking place.
Discuss for our listeners who haven't checked out your latest book, The Last Call for Liberty. Why is there such an ontological, an epistemological, at the core of, why is there such a massive difference between the two revolutions, ours, the American and the French Revolution?
Well, start with the fact that two sources are quite different. The American Revolution comes basically from the Jewish and Christian scriptures, whereas the French Revolution comes through people like Rousseau, Voltaire, from the French Enlightenment, and its more recent heirs like Nietzsche or current people like Michel Foucault and so on. They are very, very different. Take a simple difference. The American Revolution has a very realistic view of human nature. You have checks and balances, separation of powers.
Man is flawed.
Because we're flawed.
Right.
Put bluntly, we're sinners. But the French Revolution has an idealistic view. Yet there are repressions, but man is born free, everywhere in chains. Rousseau says, remove a chain or two and we'll all be happy, free, and fulfilled. So you have, say, Wilhelm Reich in the sexual revolution. Remove the repressions and then we'll all be happy, free, and fulfilled if we say, he suggests, 5 orgasms a week and so on. This is utopian nonsense.
But also it melds with the idea that not only must the repression, the shackles be thrown off, but that perfection can be engineered, no?
No, exactly. And engineered by those who know best, the managerial elites, the state, Leviathan. Right. And you have all the toxic factors today that make for a new and enlarged Leviathan.
Okay, so the difference in what you're seeing, witnessing here in America today, is the growing influence of the other model of revolution and the diluting of the original American Revolution?
Yes, you take, say, the Democratic candidates. They're way to the left of where they would have been last time. Or yes. You take the Squad and people like that. You see ideas rearing their heads in America you would never have seen. When I was a student, a long time ago, people would say that the American dream was the surrogate for socialism. You didn't need socialism here. Now take the rage for socialism and progressive left ideas.
As somebody who's chosen this country, you've come here as an immigrant to the United States. those views that would have been deemed extreme not long ago, the Squad, Ilhan Omar, Ocasio-Cortez, do you believe that they resonate across a large part of the American culture?
Increasingly, absolutely. Fortunately, not in any way the center or the whole, but an increasingly large part. But let me mention what I mean as the toxic factors. We have gross inequalities. We have injustices from time to time. And we have an ideology trying to exploit these. So there has never been an attempt to split men and women like today, or the races like today, or the generations like today. And you can see this postmodern politics of power is extremely divisive. And this is absolutely deadly for the American experiment.
That is, of course, the identity politics upon which the left's establishment is built today. We see it all the time. We've seen it in the debates. We've seen it in the daily statements. It is your gender. It is your sex. It is your sexual preference. It is your skin color by which you will be measured, which is the antithesis, for example, of the Reverend Martin Luther King's message. He is Oz Guinness. His website is OSGUINNESS, OzGuinness.com. And his latest book available right now, go and order it in the break, is Last Call for Liberty, How American's Genius for Freedom Has Become Its Greatest Threat. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network from ReliefFactor.com studios. Back with my guest, Oz Guinness, in a moment.
Relief Factor. Have you tried every other form of pain relief only to fail and not find your answer? Well, try this incredible product that is providing liberation from pain to tens of thousands of Americans across the country, including Alicia from California. I'm a grocery store worker and have been working doubles during this coronavirus shutdown. At 52 years old, my two bad knees are not getting a rest. I literally limp to and from bed. 2 days into Relief Factor and the pain has decreased substantially. So thankful for this amazing product. That could be you. It should be you. Find out today the only way you can by ordering the 3-week quick starter pack at ReliefFactor.com. Call them at 800-500-8384. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do. And I promise you, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Alicia, and thousands of your fellow Americans. What have you got to lose except the pain? Do it today. 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com. ReliefFactor.com. It's a special day, which means here in America First, it is long form special guest for a whole hour, starting with, of course, Oz Guinness, a friend of the show, commentator, author, all around good egg. Go to his website, OSGUINNESS, OzGuinness.com, and while you're on the internet, order his current book, Last Call for Liberty, How America's Genius for Freedom Has Become Its Greatest Threat, one of more than 30 books this man has published. He's only 10 times as many books as I've written, but hey, he's a professional. I'm just an amateur. Oz, welcome back to America First. Let me now turn to what has happened in the last couple of years in America. We have the rising influence of an atheistic, a godless revolution, the French Revolution, that says we are good, our nature is good, we are not fallen, and in fact that we are perfectible, vice what the founding fathers knew. It seemed as if for the last 40 years, the left's grip on our culture was tightening, tightening, tightening. And then along comes this brash former Democrat from Manhattan, really from Queens. And everything's changed, hasn't it? Isn't there a certain window of modulation, of adjustment now in America because of Donald Trump's election, Oz Guinness?
Well, I view him as, along with those who see Trump, as the wrecking ball stopping America in its tracks in the direction we just described. But what that does gives the country a breathing pause to think. Which way do you want to go? Now, we need to take that pause and, like Lincoln in the 1850s, address the better angels of the American experiment. In other words, there are wrongs to be addressed today, but in the light of the better angels. Lincoln believed in the Declaration of Independence, as King did, a promissory note. You take Al Sharpton and many others today, they are disrespecting the promissory note. They are rejecting the standard, which is absolute lunacy.
Let's unpack that in terms of current affairs. So a few weeks ago, we had this Twitter storm, allegedly, where the president pointed a finger to Elijah Cummings and the disastrous reality that is Baltimore. Is it some conservative, alleged conservative politicians, including the governor of Maryland, said, oh, no, don't do this, Mr. Trump. We don't need more Twitter wars. But isn't it stunning that with three tweets, Donald Trump has actually shone a huge spotlight on an issue that nobody wanted to deal with for 50 years, Oz Guinness.
And, of course, it was deflected by the race card.
Yes, of course.
Which was nothing to do with
Had nothing to do with it.
Except the fact that one of them was black and one was white.
Right.
But that wasn't the point at all. But you see, everything today is turned into race or generations or sex or whatever. And thank God for people looking at the issues. But we need the solutions.
Yes.
So you take, say, the president's Make America Great Again. He needs to go on, someone needs to go on to do like Lincoln and saying, what made America great in the first place?
Uh-huh.
It wasn't the economy.
Right.
It wasn't the military, important though those were. It was ideas. But Americans have forgotten. This is a nation by intention and by ideas, and we need to go back to them. They are the unum that balances the pluribus. See, it is, the issue is citizenship.
But there is a very marked difference, Oz Guinness, between ideas and ideology, is there not?
Oh, absolutely. We're talking about ideas coming from the American Revolution, which were simple ideas of freedom, many of them biblically based. In other words, Jews and Christians are the champions of those ideas, and we need to say what they are. A Jewish and Christian view of freedom is both deeper and more realistic than the other views we have today. You can see that in Edmund Burke critiquing the French Revolution. You can see some of the ideas of today are just unsustainable and running into the sands, and they will produce despotism, not freedom.
If we recognize, if we admit to ourselves that this billionaire from Manhattan has created a wedge that has created a window, but now we have to go to the question of how do we, what are the values, what do we do next, what is it who Lenin said, what is to be done? What is the transmission belt? Because originally society transmitted those values from the cradle on, in a mother's milk, in civics education. Mm-hmm. In 2019, Oz Guinness, what is the transmission belt to get back to those values in America?
But it's broken down.
Yes.
In other words, you used to have civic education in the public schools, and that goes all the way back to Moses and the Exodus. As the rabbis point out, what did Moses talk about the night of the Exodus? Not freedom, not the promised land. He talked about children. Free societies need that handing down in every generation or freedom's lost. Reagan said that very clearly. And you can see at the end of the 60s, civic education was thrown out of the public schools. That is a disaster. There is no American unum to balance the pluribus. You take, say, the immigration debate. We talk about sanctuary cities and walls. The real issue is citizenship.
Yes.
The walls aren't just to keep them out. They're to keep it distinctive so those who come here become American citizens.
We have 3 minutes left in this segment with you, Oz Guinness. Changing the educational system, which took 40, 50 years for the left to take control of, is not going to be done overnight. Where are the electric paddles of the defibrillator that is going to shock us back? Where do we begin? Is it a politician making speeches like Lincoln? Do we have to have a new stump speech series? Is it Reagan in the way he did with the GE company lectures he gave? Is there a shortcut where we can shock the system into understanding what's missing?
Well, I think Reagan gives a very good precedent there because his GE speeches were magnificent. Simple, foundational.
Right.
Now, we need to take every issue discussed today and turn it into a deeper issue that raises the foundations of Americanism. The foundations need to be restored. I even think that just as you have, say, in the Hebrew Scriptures, times of rededication, you know, Hezekiah and other people like that, I think some president's going to have a national rededication on the mall of America recommitting itself to what it understands explicitly of the first principles of the American Revolution, confessing where some of them were not fulfilled. In other words, slavery is evil and a contradiction of the very principles they stood for. But we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. We distinguish what's wrong and put it behind us and rededicate ourselves to what's good. That's what needs to be done. The left is throwing out the baby, the bathwater, and all. That is a disaster.
A national rededication. Well, we have, if everything goes well, in just over 400 days, we will have four more years to do so. That event, such a deeply symbolic event, could truly have a catalytic consequence for our country. But then again, the question is, what happens after that? After a rededication from the most powerful pulpit in the world, it would be up to us, American citizens, to take that trigger, that catalyst, into our private lives and back into our families. I'm Sebastian Gorka, author of the latest book, Why We Fight, Defeating America's Enemies with No Apologies. And my special guest for today is none other than Oz Guinness, and his latest work is Last Call for Liberty, How America's Genius for Freedom Has Become Its Greatest Threat. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network.
Listening to America First with Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Donald J. Trump.
I'll open my heart a little bit. Back in July, when I finished my manuscript, the second version, which was only about 6 months late for my third book, I actually caught myself saying, this is going to be the last one. I'm not doing this again. But, you know, never say never again. Our current guest, Oz Guinness, has written more than 20 books. He's actually written more than 30 books. And now we will discuss the one, the imminent release of his 30th book, which is Carpe Diem Redeemed, Seizing the Day, Discerning the Times, out in September, but available right now at Amazon.com. Oz, what have you shifted to? What is the core argument of your latest treatise?
It's actually on a Jewish Christian view of time. That sounds rather abstract, but my opinion is we need to start relaying many of the foundations of our Western way of life. And you need to have a biblical view of time, of history, of human dignity, of freedom. So that's what my book's about, because I think the biblical view of time is quite unique.
Let's start by juxtaposing it with what we have in modern culture. What is the attitude to time?
Well, you have two main alternatives. What's called the cyclical view of time, which you see in Hinduism, Buddhism,
right.
New Age movements. Time goes round and round. You don't have a high view of history.
Right.
Then on the other hand, you have the so-called chronological view of time, which is purely the succession of moments. Some are optimistic, the Steven Pinkers of this world. Many are pessimistic. Time isn't going, history isn't going anywhere, it has no sense at all. The biblical view of time, history is going somewhere, it's deeply meaningful, and we have a very important part to play in it. And I think there's nothing deeper and richer than that Jewish and Christian view of time.
Explain to us briefly what is the key or the key elements of that Jewish, of that Old Testament understanding of time, Oz Guinness.
Well, there is a certain cyclical view. The day begins and ends. Our life begins and ends. The season begins and ends. But overarching time is God's creation of the world and of history. and of God's working in time and his purposes in time, and we become his partners in working to repair the world and restore the world and so on. You have a deeply meaningful view of time. So instead of King David, for example, he served God's purpose in his own generation and then died. And our challenge is to live creatively by understanding our times and serving God's purpose today, which is the richest, deepest fulfillment that there is.
How would that translate into the life of an everyday American?
Well,
would it start with a return to Scripture? Where does it begin, Os Guinness?
It obviously grows out of a sense of life as faith, but there's a sense of calling. Each of us is made different. We have different gifts, different dreams, different hopes. And God has a calling for us. And as we enter into that, then we play our small part in the bigger picture, which is God's purposes in time. And I love this sense because it means, you know, there's written over a Christian view of time the word incomplete, Niebuhr's word. None of us can do everything. But the little thing we can do becomes a big thing when we do it under God with a sense of purpose in history.
We're talking about Os Guinness's latest work to be published in September, available now. It's called Carpe Diem, Redeemed. Who are the key authors, who are the key thinkers beyond the prophets and this Old Testament that you've relied upon in this new book, Os Guinness?
Well, much of the book is a contrast with the Eastern and with the secularist, and then trying to analyze what's called fast life. Here we live under 24/7 pressure. The craziness of our modern world. How do we live responsibly in that sort of a world?
I remember a story of before I lived in America, before I became an American, I was visiting the country for 2-3 weeks, and I bought a new phone in Europe, and I asked the sales assistant, "So this phone will work in America, right? Because I need it to work in America." I said, "Absolutely." And I bought my new phone. Arrived, touched down, tried to switch it on, totally useless. It was the best vacation I've had in a long time because I was not living in the moment. I didn't have to respond to every pointless text or email. So there is small things can make a difference in this day and age where we think we need to be plugged in all the time. And when I'm asked by youngsters for career advice, whatever they wish to become, national security types, media types, I have a very simple, and people are surprised, the advice I give them. Read books, because people don't anymore. Switch that phone off, get off the computer, and at least read a book. We are talking to the wonderful Os Guinness. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Don't touch that dial. Special day, our special guest is Os Guinness, author of the new book, Carpe Diem Redeemed. I have said many times on this show, Os, that conspiracy theories kill critical thought, and there's a reason they're called theories and not facts. But there is, or there was, a very successful plan for the left to arrive where they are today, where 52% of millennials, according to the Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation, 52% of American millennials would prefer to live in a socialist or communist America. How did the left take the most robust republic in the world that had defeated Nazism, had defeated the Soviet Union, and turn it into an image of itself?
Think back to 1968. You know, America was burning.
Yes.
The two assassinations of Dr. King and Bobby Kennedy. But despite 100 cities ablaze, the left knew it wasn't winning. And what they called for then, Rudi Dutschke, the Red Brigade leader in Europe the year before, he called for a long march through the institutions. In other words, you don't win in the streets. You have to win through the elite institutions. So win the universities and colleges. Win the press and media. Win the world of Hollywood and entertainment. And then you win the world of ideas and you win the culture.
So this was the masterstroke for the left's thinkers. So from Adorno through to Alinsky, there was this final understanding after the failure of a frontal assault. It was, well, let's be sensible. Let's change it from the inside. You don't walk up to the castle wall. You get inside through the sewer and you change it from the inside. How have they affected this? What were the key turning points or the centers of gravity that the long march through the institutions affected in the last 40, 50 years in America, Os Guinness?
Well, some of the ideas go back earlier than that, but you take, say, postmodernism, Nietzsche's idea, God is dead, truth is dead,
yes.
All that's left is power.
Yes.
That's, you see, Michel Foucault, the 1960s. That's incredibly important today. The collapse of truth, take, say, fake news and so on. Or you take multiculturalism. When that idea was first put out in the early 1900s by Horace Kallen, liberals were horrified. And now, of course, through identity politics, tribal politics, it's won the day. And you can see that American individuality and things like that have gone out the board. So there are many different ideas. Or take the sexual revolution. People think it started with Hugh Hefner and the pill and things like that. But, of course, it goes back all the way to the Marquis de Sade and people like Wilhelm Reich.
Right.
You know, Reich, for instance, says very openly, they will never win, he talks about himself, until two people are defeated absolutely. The church, one, and parents, two. Sex education at three and four. And you can see how that's gone on. Or say, take the notion of social constructionism. Nothing's given. There are no created realities. Genesis is thrown out. So you take, say, transgenderism. Whatever you feel today is what you truly are, and you part company even with your biology. So all these crazy ideas have their roots, and the roots are disastrous, and the harvest is disastrous.
How important in all of this was Antonio Gramsci, the Italian?
Incredibly important, because he sat in jail in the 20s under Mussolini, and he realized Marxism had never worked as Marx thought. No proletarian revolution, not even in Russia.
It only worked in a post-feudal Russian scenario and wouldn't work anywhere else.
Exactly. So he figured out what you need to do. He shifts from economic Marxism, as a word, to a cultural Marxism. And that's where we are today.
How crucial, Os Guinness, in understanding all of what you just said, seeing it for what it is, were the Kavanaugh hearings in this city?
Well, they were the most dramatic symptom because it just broke out like that, like an eruption. And anyone who didn't think through what they were seeing was foolish, because that's the harbinger of far worse things to come. The next election next year will be abominable unless we have a Lincoln-like leadership that transcends the horrors of this.
There was, for me, the moment in those hearings was when both Kamala Harris and Cory Booker, who are both running to be the 46th commander-in-chief, used the phrase with regards to the witness, the non-credible witness that was Blasey Ford. They used the phrase, her truth. That is the result of everything you've just said. What do you mean, her truth? Either it's the truth or it isn't, is it not?
No, that's postmodern relativism. Right.
So that was fades. Shining a light.
Mm-hmm. But not only that, you had the refusal of the presumption of innocence.
Yes.
All sorts of things. Absolutely appalling. And that's the rejection of hundreds of years of English-speaking freedom.
Sounds like you are expecting much worse in the next 400-odd days until the election, Os Guinness.
Unless.
And we have that moment, that crystallizing moment. Is Trump the right man for that purpose?
Trump is the only man who can do it at the moment, but he needs to do it. In other words, come above a Twitter storm and really start doing like Lincoln, addressing the better angels.
Wow. Fabulous. He is Oz Guinness. There's a reason we are spending the first hour of this special day with this great thinker and author, great-great-great-grandson of the Arthur Guinness. I had to throw that in there again. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. His website is ozguinness.com. That's O-S-G-U-I-N-N-E-S-S. His current work, Last Call for Liberty, How America's Genius for Freedom Has Become Its Greatest Threat, and coming out in September, but you can pre-order it right now at Amazon.com, Carpe Diem Redeemed, Seizing the Day, discussing Discerning the Times, out in September. We are live streaming at our website, sebgorka.com, and also follow our Twitter feed, SEBGORKA. You can also contact us via our website, which is the same URL, SEBGORKA, with any of your questions. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network from the ReliefFactor.com studios outside the insalubrious rat's nest. Yes, another infested rat's nest that is Washington, D.C. Back in a moment. The issue I have with the blunt assertion that we should challenge them is that they don't think facts, logic, have become irrelevant, and most of their reasoning, if I can even call it that, is emotion based. How do we bridge the chasm that they don't function based upon logos but on emotion, Oz Guinness?
Two things are tips, I think, from a Christian view of persuasion. One, raise questions, don't always make statements.
Yes.
Two, take people at their word and push them to the logic of the consequences of their position.
So
you take, say, the prophet Elijah. He didn't say, come back to God. He said, if Baal is God, follow Baal, because he knew Baal wasn't. And in a way today, we've got to push people to see the direction that their disastrous ideas are leading, not just being shocked or disagreeing with them or whatever, but getting them to open their eyes by pushing them to see. Notice how the L in LGBT are increasingly falling out with the T's.
Yes.
And they're right.
Yes. So
the T's have gone crazy at certain points.
Right. To return us to the Judeo-Christian founding, the principles upon which the Republic was built, we must be more Socratic than ever, is what I'm hearing.
Absolutely. Because those principles are true and most profoundly human and just and free, etc.
Well, unfortunately, I'm in exactly the same position I was the last time I interviewed this great man, thirsty for more and wishing that we could have several days with Oz Guinness. Go to his website, O-S-G-U-I-N-N-E-S-S, ozguinness.com. Order his new book, Carpe Diem Redeemed. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network with me, your host, Sebastian Gorka, author of the latest book, Why We Fight, Defeating America's Enemies with No Apologies. On this special day, you do not want to go anywhere. Do not touch this dial.